Mike Vec has joined us on Sports Byline USA, the president of the Charleston River Dogs, and again, the Vec family around baseball for a century at various levels of ownership, promotion, and Mike himself still involved with baseball at the minor league level. And again, if you have a chance, if you're in Charleston, South Carolina, be sure to check out the Charleston River Dogs. Mike, I know you tried your hand. You were with Detroit for a little bit, were you not, the Tigers, and then you decided to settle into the minor league area. Tell me a little bit about that decision.
Actually, I spent 2.5 years with the Tigers, and I spent a year with the Marlins, and, 7 months with the then-Devil Rays. So I've got 10 years in the big leagues. The problem that I had always was that I'm a rebuild guy, and I love to go in and rebuild, and people are fine. They'll hire a vet when they're desperate, and I heard that more than once, and at first it stung me. But I believe, Ron, that you can bring the same kind of marketing that you do with the minor leagues to the major leagues, except when it comes to the actual game. And indeed, for the first time in my life, the last 10 years, I have seen more minor league people ascending to major league jobs. And the major leagues, once they see that a promotion can be hustled and read that to say, once it can be sold, then you suddenly find the gates are opening. And so there are a lot of really good marketing people at the big league level, like I've never seen before. But the minor league experience is manageable, and you really can customer service your people at the minor league level and have interaction. And I think in the end, that's what I'm really drawn to.
What is it that you can do at the minor league level in servicing the baseball customer that maybe can't be done at the major league level, Mike?
Well, you can greet them over the course of a season, almost by name, your regulars, and you can make allowances. If someone's having a baby, you can move them into office space or suites, and you don't have to police your box seats, because our seven ball clubs only have one rule: if you complain about a kid, we throw you out. and so there's a much it all comes down to accessibility. I mean, what you do is magical. People love to be and listen to Ron Barr on the radio because it's got this magical quality to it. And because to be asked to be on your show is an honor, and it's access. And so minor league players aren't spoiled yet. And so fans can get into the dugout, can walk on the field. Bill Murray and I had more fun the other night at the All-Star game. We had a home run hitting contest on the deck of the Yorktown, which is a carrier station, actually anchored now permanently in Charleston. But after the All-Star game, Bill invited all the people to go out into center field and lie down on the grass and watch the fireworks looking up. And that's the kind of attention you can pay with 6,000 that you can't with 38,000.
The other thing, I'm going to make a statement here, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Mike, but I think that your job is probably a little bit easier than it is at the major league level as far as the customer, because I think the major league customer is a little bit more jaded, whereas the type of markets that minor league baseball happened to be in, the small to medium-sized market, people aren't really caught up in wins and losses. I mean, we have seen some great movies like Bull Durham and others like that that pick up on that atmosphere that's around minor league baseball. Does that make it a little bit easier to have the fan support and be more fan-friendly because of the markets you guys are in?
I'm going to tell you, Ron, I find myself, and I couldn't disagree with you more, and I'll tell you why. There is no such thing as major league laughing or minor league laughing. Bill Murray went out to throw out the first pitch this year for the Cubbies, his beloved Cubbies, and ran around the bases. And 41,000 Cub fans stood up. And they actually believed, Ron, that they were in first place at that moment. So my point is that Major League fans are indeed so jaded that I think they're looking desperately for some laughter to hold on to. You know, they're overpaying for beers in certain markets. They're paying a lot of money to park. And I think they're looking for some of those gags desperately so they can say, hey, you know, and I had a great time.
You know, I'll tell you, this is an interesting discussion because I think that's a credit more to Bill because of his personality. I happened to see him, of course, down at the Pebble Beach tournament. He is the same way. He goes into the crowds. He goes in, you know, and greets people that particular way. And I think that's a credit to Bill Murray that brings a humanness to the sport of golf, which tends to have an image of being stuffy. But I have found over the years, Mike, and I think you probably have found this as well, that at the major league level, even when it comes to promotions, they don't want to take a chance like that something is going to blow up in their face, whereas you don't care if it happens down at the minor league level as long as nobody gets hurt. You just hope that they're laughing, as you just pointed out. So I think that there's a corporate mentality at the major league level when it comes to creating that fun atmosphere that you don't find at the minor league level.
Now, that you're absolutely right about. That I surrender 100%, and you're absolutely right. And all I would say to that is, that so many of the things that they sell now at the major, I went to a Twins game the other night, watched Josh Hamilton just hit one 454 feet. He, of course, started his career in Charleston. But as I watched the Twins game unfold, I thought I was at a Saints game. You know, we got a club 7 miles from the new Target Field where the AA St. Paul Saints play, and we've done 98% occupancy for the last 20 years. But I see them using gags, and I think what happens is as soon as it's saleable, as soon as they can add some zeros to it, then they'll take a chance with it. And I love that, as a matter of fact, because there's nothing more flattering than, you know, to see one of your gags being used at the major league level.
Your promotions, Mike, they are almost the lifeblood of minor league baseball, are they not, because of just the economics of professional sports these days, finding something that will bring people and putting their butts in the seats. You have been very creative about that for a very long time, and I kind of chuckle when I read a story about something you've done down in Charleston, and I remember the one night in which you didn't have anybody in the ballpark until, what was it, the later innings? And you've done other promotions. Tell some people about what you've done.
Yeah, we call it Nobody Night. We researched and found out that the record for the lowest minor league attendance, at least historically, as near as we could determine, the Portland Beavers drew one person. So we thought it would be really funny if we broke that record and drew no one. So we locked the gates. We kept everyone outside until it was a legal game in the fifth inning. You know, we drilled holes in the outfield wall. We had cherry pickers. We had 2,500 people outside the gates. We had beer vendors inside vending to no one. Players could literally, it was so quiet, hear themselves scratch. And the funniest part about the promotion was, afterwards, we did 125 interviews all over the world, and HBO came and did a 12-minute special on those idiots in Charleston. And people say to me, why do you do that? I say, well, I'm insecure, but how much does 12 minutes on HBO cost? Sponsors like to see themselves on television.
Where do you get your ideas from for promotions?
Fans. Fans send them in. And, you know, Ron, this is something interesting, too. Every once in a while you have a brainstorm yourself. You hire the best people you can. Just let them loose, let them do what they do, and they'll have fun. But I get a lot of calls from frustrated people who work for other teams, major league and minor league, who have floated an idea at a meeting, and no one will let them do it. And so I've had instances where I've done promotions that other professionals in my line of work have come up with, but can't find a palette on which to paint this promo.
When you crystal ball and take a look at Major League Baseball, what is it that you like? What are you concerned about moving forward, Mike?
I love the idea of more and more accessibility. I think that that's the real key to the future of baseball. I think that once you get a baseball into a little girl's hand, or a young child's hand, that you have a relationship. It's almost contractual in nature. So access is the key to the future of the game. I mean, I think that they've done an exemplary job. MLB.com, probably the best site of its kind, needs a little more interaction. But the prices, I think somebody has to come to terms with dynamic ticket pricing. You want to pay $14 for the Pirates and see a pretty good ball club, or you want to pay $40 for the Phillies. You know, I think that they have to come up with that, and I think we need leadership ready to replace Bud Selig. And if Commissioner Selig has an idea who that is, I'd love to know about it.
I can't see you at the major league level. I think you've found a place where you're warm and you're happy with. Am I correct in that observation, Mike?
Well, you probably wouldn't have been until about 16 months ago, because Mr. Murray and I spent 16 months trying to be involved in the Ricketts purchase of the Cubs by way of a bonding bill. And when that kind of fell apart, I was bitterly disappointed. And so I think I'll probably stay put. If you want to laugh, too, Ron, I'm teaching graduate and undergraduate courses at the Citadel, so I guess that almost every relationship can be repaired.
Did you ever think, or do you, what would your dad react to the $2 billion-plus price tag on the Dodgers?
I would think he'd say, you know, McGill, maybe I didn't live long enough.
Mike, we only have a couple.
I think he'd be very frightened. I think he would say, much as you alluded to earlier, the corporatization of a game that he loved. He had no problem making money. He loved to turn a profit on a ball club. That was his only business. He was never independently wealthy. But I think that those numbers would worry him because of what they represent, not just to him and to whatever his personal beliefs might have been, but what they represent to the fans also.
We only have a couple minutes left, Mike, but when I go to a sporting event, primarily even baseball, and I look around a stadium, I see very few faces of color. And I know one of the things that you've worked very hard at down in Charleston is involving, because you're in the Deep South and the makeup of that area, African-American primarily, as well as Caucasian, that you've been very active in trying to bring in black fans as well. Is that a concern to you, and what is it that you're doing in order to try to make it a mutually satisfying experience for everybody?
Well, one of the things that I love about this, about talking to you, is the fact that you research this stuff. And we actually hit for the first time, Ron, this past season, double digits on African-American attendance in Charleston. I'm inordinately proud of that. And it all stems from moving your front office out into the street. The first thing you need is you need a good tongue lashing from somebody who explains to you how prejudice and what racism really looks like. Not what we all want to think it looks like, but what it genuinely looks like. And then you change the makeup of your front office, which changes the makeup of your advertising. You make a commitment to 3 years of advertising in urban markets, as I did when we were with the Tigers, and you'll see that needle move, and that's terribly important.
In about 30 seconds.
You know, so that it goes on.
In about 30 seconds, is there anything you have not done that you'd still like to do in baseball, Mike?
Yeah, I still would love to take one shot at a Kansas City or a Pittsburgh or a Cleveland. I really would love to be in Cleveland just because of the symmetry of ending up where my old man started. It's a pipe dream, and you know, but a consulting gig, I'd like it.
Mike, I always enjoy our conversations, and as you know, I do travel to Charleston, South Carolina, one of my favorite cities to get away to, and when next time I'm down there, I'm going to give you a call. We're going to sit down, break some bread, laugh a little bit about some stories, and spend some time together. Take care, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much, Ron. Congratulations.
Mike Vec with us, the president and the owner of the Charleston River Dogs, and also the owner of five or six other teams, as you heard him say, also in part ownership with Bill Murray, the comedian, as well. And again, if you get a chance anywhere across the country to go see a minor league baseball game, I heartily urge you to do so. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.